which leads me right into a new series I want to start this morning. I'm really excited about this. It's called The Sound of Heaven. And with The Sound of Heaven, I was thinking, if God could say anything, if heaven could speak to us today, what would heaven say to you? What would heaven speak into you? You can put that slide down. What would heaven speak into your life if the sound of heaven was to come? God has something to say about everything, you know that? There's nothing that he's not being able to speak in. You might say, when my circumstance is a modern circumstance, I'm telling you, in his word, he has something to say into that. He has something to say on every topic in this world and in your life and in my life. And sound is very important. We all know that sound is geared towards the ear. You can't hear with your eye, can't you? You can see with your eye, but you can't hear with your eye. And hearing things is very important. The Bible, here's the emphasis the Bible puts on hearing. Faith comes by hearing. What you're going to do in God, even coming to know God, how can they hear unless we send someone to tell them? And the ear is the gateway into our lives. It's one of the gateways into our lives and into our thinking. Life and death is in what we hear, because life and death is in what people speak. So the Bible says. And what you speak has an effect on you and me. And what we listen to and what we allow into our ear affects us, because it's a gateway into our life, into our psyche, into our heart, therefore into our emotions, and therefore into our behavior, and there goes our future. Because what you hear will affect and shape your destiny and your future. What you hear will affect you emotionally. What you hear will shape the way you think. What you hear will shape the way you behave, and therefore, that is your future. Whatever you allow into your life shapes your destiny. This is a true story. You take a family of 6 people, and 3 of the kids hear positive, and hear encouragement, and hear life-giving words, and 3 don't. They hear the opposite, or they just don't hear them. Those 6 kids will live out life differently. And I know this to be true. I've seen so many, I've sit with so many of you, and so many of you sit with me. That when I'm operating out that life and out that words that's been spoken over my life, I act different, I believe different, I feel different. The gateway is very important. We all know the whole thing of, like, you know, if you speak to a child and tell a child that it's stupid all of its life, it's no good all of its life, that child will get that into its psyche, believe it, will feel it, will own it, and act out of it. And the future is shaped. And it's the same when you become a child of God. This is what happens when you accept Jesus on the what Jesus did on the cross. This is what happens when you accept that he lived and died and rose again. And wants to come into your life. He wants your sin to be forgiven. When we come into his world, a whole new world opens up to us. A whole new dimension opens up. When we're on the inside, because that's what happens, a new realm opens up to you and I as a believer. And God has some things he wants to say to you. He has some things he wants to say about you. And he has some things he wants to let you know is available to you. He wants to speak this season. He wants to speak into your heart. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to shape our future. He wants to shape our destiny. And he wants to speak to us this season in a way that only he can. And if we come in with the, and we allow the old hearing to dictate to God and to dictate to us alone, well, then we come before God like orphans. Well, this is the way it used to go on back then. And this is the way I used to get my own way. I manipulate. I use things to get my own way. And you come a believer and you come before the king. You come before the God who gives us everything. And we think we have to act that way around him. And he says, no, God, I need to tell you some things. I need you to hear what I say about you. I need you to hear what's available to you there, so that you do not have to come to me with a beggar's bowl, with manipulation, with pouting, with stubbornness. You don't have to do that with me. It's like an orphan who goes to rob bread, but not realizing that his dad owns the bakery. We come to God and we're robbing ourselves. God's like, do you not care, daughter? I own everything. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's why he says, don't worry about what you leave. because I'll provide for you. When I worry about what I'm eating, I'm becoming orphan again. I'm saying that I don't trust that God will provide for me. It's yours. God wants to speak so all mindsets are broken. And the strongholds crumble. Paul says about strongholds, he says, they have to be demolished. That's why, that's the language he puts on strongholds. And the way to get rid of a stronghold is to hear what God has to say. And to obey what God has to say. And allow his words to be life to us rather than the old death that we've listened to in our old lives. You know, I have 4 daughters and a granddaughter, but I also have 2 boys. And the 2 boys don't live in this country, but they live in an orphanage in Belarus. And Ed and Dennis, and many here know them, and many don't know them. And when they came over first, I think they were about 7 and 8, they're now 10 and 11. When they came over first, we were, like, you know, finished dinner, and someone was on clean-up duty, and they were scraping the plate into the bin. And Dennis and Ed was like, no, Papa, no. They couldn't believe that we would throw away food. They couldn't believe, because in the orphanage, they eat in the morning. And we know as our little boys, and those who take kids from Belarus, I don't know if it's the same for you, but our Ed and Dennis would fill up in the morning on whatever you get them. Like, about 6 different things. In their world, they don't know sometimes whether they're going to get a dinner, so they go, I'm going to fill up in the morning while it's on here, so that if there's nothing in the night time, I'm all right. I filled up the wheelie bin. We couldn't believe that we would throw out school. And I brought them to the press. And we had this big press that Weetabix and all that type of stuff is in another stuff. But it's also the goodies press, you know. And I opened up these 2 big doors. And I said to the boys, everything that's in there is yours. Because I'm your papa. And everything I own is now yours. And you can go to the press. Now, we'd like you to ask us. Because we can't just let them eat all sugary stuff, because they'll be bouncing off the walls. So you ask Papa and Mama, and then we'll be able to say, yes, you can go ahead, because it's yours. But we have to make sure we're able to give it to you in good measure. But effectively, I was saying, no, you're a child now. You're Nolan Sharon's. You belong to the Kenny family. You live in another country, but you belong there, and all of this is yours. The confetti, yes. The lollipops, yes, yours. The food, yes. The sugar, yes. Everything belongs to you now because you're a member of our family. And this all kicked off when we were over in Belarus. And this is when I knew that Dennis got it. He's the older of the 2. They were in a group. I wasn't there. Becky was telling me this. And she was in the group. And the best boy got a lollipop at the end of the day, you know. And the best girl got a lollipop. And Dennis didn't get it because he wasn't the best. And so he's sitting in this circle and he's speaking to the interpreter, and he says to the interpreter, in my house. And she's thinking, his house? He's an orphan. He hasn't got a house. What's he saying, in my house? He says, in my house, my papa. She's thinking, his house? He's not a papa, he's an orphan. And he's continuing, and she's trying to, you know, what's this kid? He says, in my house in Ireland, in Ireland, my papa has a press. And it's full of confetti, full of sweets. And he says, and I can take all the sweets. I can take them on. Somehow Dennis got it. That there's a father who loves them. There's a father who has the bounty. And he says to the children, it's yours. Because what's mine is yours. And when we become believers and we haven't heard what God says about us, we come like an orphan. Instead of what God wants us to hear is like, no, whatever is mine is yours. Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to you. It's yours. I've given you the keys of the kingdom. It's yours. I'm going to show you how to unlock the locks and the doors. God wants us to know everything he has is ours. And my belief with this series, we're going to hear what heaven has to say, because it has to, something to say on every topic. I want to know what heaven has to say. What is the good man? Not what the old world tells me. This world tells me what a man is. What does God have to say? What's heaven saying? Not what we're trying to say to each other, but what is heaven saying to each other? What's God's thoughts and what a woman should be. A woman of God should be. What's God's thoughts on raising children? What's God's thoughts on reaching the world? And this is what we will be given for the next couple of weeks. Amen. So I'm looking forward to it. And that was in the intro. And yesterday, during the week, as I was praying, I felt the Lord give me a word. A word for the sound of heaven for this morning and for this weekend. Here, anyway, is to be rooted. To be rooted. To be rooted is very, very important. What does it mean? Listen to what Paul has to say in Ephesians 3, 14, 21. It should come up on the screen. Paul says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." For this reason, Paul said, I get on my knees to pray for you. Can I tell you this morning, I was on my knees praying for you this morning. I was on my knees yesterday, kneeling before God. I walked through every seat. And I says, Father, bless, encourage, release, build up, strengthen your people. And Paul says, I kneel, but I kneel for a reason. I kneel to pray. I need to pray for you. I need to pray before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that he would grant you to be strengthened with power in your inner man, deep within you, through the Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and breadth, the height and the depth of the love of God, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul is saying that he's praying that we would be firmly established and rooted in love. That we, if we're deeply rooted, we'd be able to comprehend the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. He wants to get deep in us. He wants to get into the very core of who we are. He wants this love to permeate every thought, every action. He wants his love to be so deep in us, because I want to tell us there's something deep in us. Because when we hear and we act out of what we hear from the old man and the old way of living, that's deep in us. And he wants to go into that deep place in us so that he can free us up and liberate us. To be rooted, what does it mean? Rooted means to have depth. Like an anchor holding a boat. The anchor is dropped. No matter how big the boat is, the anchor is dropped and it catches hold of the ground. No matter what wind comes, no matter what storm comes, it may be shaking a little, it may be tossed a little, but the ship is going nowhere because there's a depth, there's an anchor that is holding it, rooted to the ground. And it's so important to be rooted, and I tell you how to measure the depth of our rootedness, if that's a word. How we measure that is when the storms come, what happens? Do we run off? Or do we stand firm in God, knowing that we're anchored deep within us? Because I want to tell you, the storms do come. And storms have come. And the storms will come. But where we're rooted, it will determine where we end up. If some ship just tossed and battered against rocks, or feeling yet the storm, we're knowing that we're rooted deep. And that he is rooted deep in us. There's many, no sort of Christianity doesn't work. It works when the sun's shining, but when the rain and the winter comes, and the storms and the thunder and lightning comes, surface Christianity doesn't last. But rooted Christianity does. This is what rooted that has depth, what it brings is security. Yeah, I'm on the boat, I know there's a storm, I know it's shaking, but we're rooted with the anchor. And I'm secure in that this storm will pass, and I'm still here. And I'll be still with God because I am anchored, I'm rooted. Rooted brings depth, and depth brings security. Rooted means to be grounded. I was in Romania one year, myself and Pastor Gary Davison. I went to carry the bags. And the first job that we were given was to help erect a big, huge tent, like a circus tent. And we were speaking at a youth conference. And before the ewe came, the field had to be cleared and the tent had to be erected. And me and Gary got put on duty of putting the stakes down. Now, a stake in a circus tent is not a little wooden stake. It's a stake about the height of me. And so I says, I'll let Gary do the swinging and I'll hold the bar, which wasn't a good idea because all the vibration was always getting whacked over through the vibration. And then we changed them. And I says, Gary, you hold the bar. I'm the Holmes bar. And I goes like, you know, we have to maneuver the situation. So he was holding the bar, but he's holding the loose. He's just keep fighting it. But I was milling the bar over with a big sledgehammer. And but I wasn't letting go because you have to let the hammer do the work. But I'm holding on for And we got it down. Huge tent. And then this fella ran up to the top of the tent, up the wall of the tent, up the roof of the tent, and put the hat on the top of the roof, like a covering for the top of it. And what the ground did, what the stakes done, what the fixing it to the ground done, it made it stable. There's a stability in being rooted. There's a stability that being rooted brings into your life and into my life. He was able to run up the wall, run up the roof, and put the thing on and slide all the way back down. And that thing was stabilized. To be rooted brings stability into your life. To be rooted means to be strengthened. A big tree is only a big tree because it has deep roots. A big tree, if you want to go up, you have to go down. You have to be secure. You have to be stabilized. Because if a big tree hasn't got the roots in its right place, then it has no strength. Because it's drawn its strength from the nutrients that's in the ground. To be rooted means flexibility. It's amazing some trees that you can watch. I was away one time in America and there was a tornado. We were staying at a beach club where a tornado came. Remember that shit? And the palm trees. I put down here when I was writing this and the breeze came. But that's a mild description. This hurricane, tornado thing came. And the beach was being battered and all of the, everything closed down within minutes. But the palm trees were getting. But they were flowing with the whole thing. It was like your man out of the Matrix when it came at them. It's like, I tell you, that tree bent all the way back, and the hair, you know, the head on it, tipped the back of the ground. And when the wind passed, it stood back up straight because its rootedness allowed it to be flexible with winds and storms. That it wasn't taking it out. We learned, I'm not going nowhere. It looks like I'm going somewhere, but now I'm back. When you're rooted, that's what it brings. Rooted brings security, strength, stability, and flexibility. And Paul tells us in Colossians, and here he says, be rooted in love. If you're going to be rooted anywhere, be rooted in love. Like all the world tells us this. That's why Tina Turner sang a song, What's Love Got to Do With It? Like she was battered. She hadn't got her roots down, but she was battered by man. She was battered by a wrong relationship. And she ends up singing our anthem, What's love got to do? Got to do with it. Come on. Anyways. She was like, what's this love all about? I've been battered. What's that got to do with it? Love has absolutely everything to do with it. Love lifts us up where we belong. Love changes everything. Sure, all we need is love. They're telling us. The world is telling us. They're singing songs. Telling us. One love. It's a good one. You can tell them out. I'm not sure here. Beatles, love, love me do. I can't think of any more. Huh? Love is all around me. There you go. Wet, wet, wet. I said that was fish love. Did I know? Love it in the air. Come on. Love. Paul says be rooted in love. Have your being out of love. Love, let your roots be so deep that you're drawing out of love. Let the love of God determine how you speak, how you walk, how you talk. Let the love of God shape your behavior and shape your future. Let the love of God shape your emotions. Let it shape your psyche. Talk about love. It's great to have Mr. and Mrs. Rafferty in the house. And Mr. and Mrs. Redmond just off honeymoon as well. It's just that line there, isn't it? And Greg and Becky going on honeymoon next week. Love is in the air. Everywhere I look around. Relax, Sharon, will you? Relax, love. Get everything out of love. If you read the Gospel of John, which I hope we all did, if you haven't, get into it. Because it's called the Gospel of Love. Everywhere you look, love, 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 love. We're talking about love, love, love. Get into it, it's the love. Well, everyone knows what John 3:16 says, don't they? Everyone know what 1 John 3:16 says? When you go from the Gospels, and it's a love, 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 love letter. When you go to the letters of John, I have found, because I was looking through the wrong filters. See, this is what it's like when we don't hear heaven. If you have glasses, take your glasses off. Take them off for a moment. Now look at your glasses. Just look at them. See, we never look at our glasses. We look through our glasses. We'll determine what's on the front of them will blur your vision. And we can look through the old person. And we look at life and we look at God through the glasses. And we see God that way. And when God speaks, it's like washing glasses. The glasses have to wrap his head. I can't see a word that's in front of me. And then I put them on and I go, whoa. That's revelation. I'm looking at God, Lord, I'm begging you, begging you, begging you. Begging you to love me. God can't answer that prayer. He can't give you something he's already given to you. But then he shows us his love. And it's like, wow, that's miraculous. And 1 John 3:16 tells you about love and how love is expressed and how you know you're living in love and how you know love is operational in your life. Very practical. Very challenging. Before she used to read it, I'd be like, oh, you're so harsh. I'm not talking about love. You're so harsh. Anyway. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know, this is what he says, this is how you know, we know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in them. And this is how we know what love is. John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And he gives us this picture of, okay, I have the love of God, but how do I know I have the love of God? How do I know that life is reigning in me? How do I know that eternity is ruling in me? He says, this is how you know. Laying down your life for one another. Loving your brother. Accepting your brother or sister. Having patience with your brother and sister. He says, if that's not where you're at, death is residing in you. If that's not where you're at, well then eternity is residing in that area of your life. Now you'd read that and go, oh my goodness. Death is reigning in me. And we can go away with condemnation. But what John is trying to say, if you recognize death residing over an area of your life, ask God for his life instead of death. Are you with me? So if I'm bitter against someone, all that produces is death. And instead of getting all hot or all hung up about it, what it's designed to do is to bring me to God and say, Lord, that area of my life, I'm hating people. bitter against people. Lord, death's ruling in my life. I expose that death to you when you bring your love so that I can be residing in eternity, can be being lived out of me, and love can be lived out of me. This is revolutionary. But we think we have to hide the death. We have to expose the death. That's what Jesus said to the guys when Lazarus, get that tombstone out of the way. Expose that dead body to me because I want to bring resurrection. That's what he was saying. It's like, we hide it. We put lipstick on it. We run out the door. We put drugs on it. We put porn on it. We put everything else on it. And God is saying, will you open that thing to me? And stop living in the tombstones. We preach about that man living in the tombstones. And there's so many believers living there. Crying out, can I be ever free? And God is saying, will you expose that death to me? And I bring my life. Marriages. Living in debt, unforgiveness. God is saying, just let me at it. What I have, Lord, let me at it. You've told me where it was. You've showed me where the tomb is, but you haven't rolled the stone away and exploded. Well, it's painful. But it's more painful to keep. It just produces death from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. The opposite is true when you expose it to life. You allow life to go from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. You show your children how to live a life, yet with arguments. Sharon will tell you, we like a great rail. We've learned how to rail. We get two little stools out the back. I'm in the blue corner. Sharon used to be a bare knuckle boxer when I met her first. We've learned how to rail. We've hopefully learned our kids how to. And we've learned how to forgive one another. And hopefully we've learned the kids how to forgive one another. And that when Greg gets Becky or Patrice married Rob, that they've got someone that's a bit healthy. Healthier than what we were. And we're able to give, if we have sons, we're able to give young women of this city quality men. And we have daughters, we're able to give the men of this city quality women. Well, not carrying death from one generation to the next generation. And we cut it off because God says, look, this is how you know what love is. If it's been worked out at this level, I love God, but I don't like his people. God says, love is not working in you. That's death. Eternity is not ruling there. No condemnation there. All you're saying is, come to the doctor. If you had a toothache, you'd go to death. You've broken this all over your life and you won't go to the master. What's going on? He says, and he walks out even more. It's very practical. He says, how do you know love is in you? If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in that person? So he boils it down very practical. You have two jokers and someone has a you know, even saying they're all going to be a good Christian, but you know, love is in you, you just do it. In fact, if love is in you, you're probably only going to be a good Christian. I've seen people's church give them money for hampers for people, and they can buy them. Seen people. Love is resolving us. It's not all death. All God is saying from heaven, where there is death, the end. And I can't say more. But we get to do it with love. Going to be new believers classes, you've got a new Christian in new groups, some of the new groups. You haven't ever studied God's word of why he came, what he did. Get into the word, be rooted in it. There's one more slot to go up, is our certificate and diploma course starts back next Monday in theology. And those who started the first year, you know, you've got your letter and all that, but those who want to start studying God's Word, theology and biblical studies, it starts back next Monday. Please see Louise if you sign up and send out the invitation letter to you. You give your email and the job. parts of Scripture. But it's about being rooted. It's about not being a surface Christian that you just live your life around God's Word and listening to preachers. That's not being rooted. I'm sorry. But that's all you're doing. It's like going and living in cafes every night of the week. You know what the food tastes like, but you don't know what it is to cook it yourself. And studying of God's Word is getting into it. And it's allowing the Word to get into you. And it's allowing the Word to be a mirror to you. That's when you read passages like 1 John, what I just read out, that the Word reads you. I'm like, my goodness, I have death living in me. You go, Lord, will you heal me of this death? Will you free me of this death? The Word reads you. The freedom is there. And Jesus says that if the Word goes deep into you, that the fowl of the air can't rob it. It's too deep. Surface Christian is like this. You hear the good message and you walk out and spoil it and you go out there and someone says your hair's not nice. And that's just to the blokes. And you go home in foul humour. You're going to win the world on Sunday and something happens to you that night, or someone says something, or something didn't happen that you wanted to do, and you're robbed for the whole week. That's because you're just eating off someone else's table. But when you cook it yourself, when you smell the aroma of the sauce that you're cooking, when you put it on your plate, when you set your table and you get into it, well, then it's yours. And the Word of God is that if you hear it and you study it and you write it down, someone told me years ago how to memorize the Word of God, write it down 21 points. And every one scripture that I've done, I can tell you exactly what it says, where it is in the Bible. And anyone knows me about my bad memory, you know that my goodness, I won't say anything like that. But they say when you memorize it, not only when you memorize, but when you say it, you know what I mean today, 1 John 3:16. You say it, it's yours for me. It's after getting into cognitive thinking. It's after getting into your mind. It's yours. Be rooted. Be rooted in the Word. Be rooted in church. Be rooted. Never let anyone take you away from church. Never let anything take you away from church. You come in here, if you're a manky dorky, after being sinning all week, you're welcomed in that door. Whatever problem you have, I'd love to have a ministry that just goes around the city going, bring out your dead. Bring them to Liberty Church. Because we know that you can find a place where you belong. And you'll come to believe.